Okay, today we're going to bring our message from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 29 down to verse 39. Matthew 15, 29. And I'm taking the title for our message this morning from the words found in verse 31. You see the last line in verse 31, they glorified the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. The true and living God, the God of all covenant mercies, the God of all covenant grace. Peter describes this God of Israel, who is God. He's the God of all grace, who called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. He's a God of all grace. He's called the Father of mercies. This is the ultimate end and eternal purpose and grand design of everything our great God and Savior does, his glory. His glory. That's the grand design of redemption, is his glory. His glory. When Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about God choosing a people, God's electing grace, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then in that same chapter, when he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then when he talks about in that same chapter about God regenerating us with the power of God the Holy Spirit and sealing us unto the day of redemption, again he said, to the praise of the glory of his grace. You see, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is all about him and his glory. His glory alone. God forbid, Paul said, I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week from our message, we found the Lord Jesus Christ departed from the area of the Sea of Galilee and traveled to a far country, Tyre and Sidon, a 50-mile distance, to find one of his lost sheep and to show mercy to that one woman and her family. And I love what he says to that woman in verse 28 when she confessed that I'm a dog at your table. You're my master. I'm just waiting for a crumb of mercy. And the Lord said unto her in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And she went home and she found her daughter was made whole. You see that? And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was completely healed to the praise of his glory. Now in verse 29, we see the Lord Jesus Christ has traveled from the coast of Tyre and Sidon and come back to the area of the Sea of Galilee around Capernaum and those other cities there, and went up into a mountain, into a high place, and he sat down. He sat down there. And then while he's seated there, all these people, this great multitude, they come unto him. And I like the way it states that. He goes up to a mountain and he sits. It reminds me what it says in the scripture about the Lord when he had put away our sin. He ascended and he sat down on a throne. On a throne. The Lord our God is enthroned. But now we see the Lord Jesus Christ back at work, back around the Sea of Galilee, back to the area where he was from, back to doing the will of God, preaching the gospel, teaching the truth of the word, healing the sick, and feeding the hungry. This seemed to be his standard method of operation. We've seen this before. We've seen the Lord doing the same thing before. Now, hold your place there in Matthew 15, and let's look at some scripture. We've seen this before. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The Lord was always about doing the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sicknesses all manner of diseases among the people. And fame, his fame went out. His fame went out in that day. Turn to another scripture we've looked at before. Find Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, teaching the truth of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Lord was always about doing the Father's will. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 14 said, the Pharisees went out and held a council how they might destroy him after they told that man with a withered hand to stretch forth his hand, and it was on the Sabbath day. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Amazing, isn't it? Look at Matthew chapter 14. We've seen this over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the city. Verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now that ought to encourage us to seek mercy where mercy's found. As he did these things, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Scripture. Fulfilling the prophecy of the Scripture. Now don't turn because you're familiar with this, but over in Luke chapter 4, remember when he went to his hometown synagogue and they gave him the book of Isaiah, and he read from Isaiah 61 and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. This is Luke 4 verse 18. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it to the minister, sat down, and the eyes of all of them were fastened in the synagogue, were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they all wondered. You see, everything the Lord was doing for us, he was fulfilling the law of God, establishing perfect righteousness for us, honoring God's law and justice for us. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The good news of this to us is the good and glorious news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is still receiving sinners out of his great compassion and healing their sin-sick soul and feeding them with the word of truth. He's still receiving us and he's still healing us. The Lord didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. Remember, the Pharisees criticized him for eating with the publicans and sinners. And the Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Those who are whole don't need a physician. I came to call sinners, unto repentance. Now look at verse 30. And here we see what happens. Matthew 15, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto him. They came to him. Having with them, when they came, they brought all the sick people in their family, these 4,000 men, they gathered up all the sick people in their family, maybe all the people in the neighborhood, having with them those that were lame. They were crippled. They were blind, probably born blind, like blind Bartimaeus. They were dumb, that is, they could not hear, they could not speak. They were deaf. They were maimed, like that man who had the withered hand. And the Lord said, stretch forth your hand. And he did. And many others, too many to even mention. And it says, they cast them down at Jesus' feet, at his feet. And what happened? He healed them. He healed all those that had need of healing. He healed them. Now, several things here in verse 30. Why did they come to him? Why did they come to him? They came because they were in need. They came because they were sick. They came because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who could heal the sick in that day. They heard of him and they came to him and they brought all their friends to the Lord. We see something else here in verse 30. We see something of the effects and the result of sin, don't we? Sin brought sickness. Sin brought deformity. Sin brought death. All flesh is withering, dying flesh. When sin is finished with this body, death ensues. Death ensues. So we see this multitude affected by sin. How did we get that way? We're born that way. And Adam all died. And Adam all sinned. By one man, disobedient, many were made sinners. Sinners. We're born with death. We're born, this body, this flesh is born with a stamp of death upon it. This flesh is going back to the dust. God said it would. Out of dust you were made, and dust you shall return. But watch this. Your sin, yes, we're sinners. But our sin will never keep us from coming to Christ. Our sin will never keep us from coming to Christ. Sin will never keep you from Christ, but I tell you what will. Your righteousness, your supposed goodness, your self-worth will keep you from coming to him. You don't think, and you're not convinced in your mind that you need him. So if you know you're a sinner, know that your sin will never keep you from Christ, but your supposed self-righteousness will. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, didn't he? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul said he was the chief one. You remember who Paul was, the apostle? You remember Apostle Paul? You remember who he was? The Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus. A very self-righteous, God-hating rebel. And yet, the Lord showed mercy to him. That encourages me, because I know Paul, he has to move over. I'm the chief of sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save such as we are. The Lord says to the needy and the guilty sinner, he said, come, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in our time of need. He said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. The Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. Here's something else we see at this on verse 30, about this in verse 30. All these lame, blind, dumb, maimed, thousands of these sick people, they came to the Lord, and these people who brought them, they cast them down at his feet. At his feet. That's a good place to be. A good place to be for sinners seeking mercy is at his feet, worshiping him. You remember the woman here in Matthew 15, verse 25, she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. It says over in Mark 7, verse 25, concerning this same woman, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. At his feet. This is where we receive the mercies of the Lord, at his feet. This is where we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, not demanding anything, but we come as mercy beggars. Lord, help me. Remember, the publican came that way. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Lord said that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. This is where we receive mercies of the Lord at his throne bowed in submission. Remember how the leper came to him in Matthew chapter 8? He was full of leprosy. He came to the Lord and worshiped him. He fell at his feet and worshiped him. And said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Now look at verse 31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when he healed them all. He had all power, all authority to heal as he will. Insomuch that the multitude wondered. This went on for 3 days. It was a 3-day healing service. The multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed, they were whole, the lame, the cripple walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified God. We see the almighty power of the Savior over all things. The miracles the Lord performed were not make believe. It wasn't a sham miracle like these so-called preachers in our day. It's just a sham. It's all make-believe. These miracles were real. They were real. They were actual. They were lasting. They spent 3 days at his feet begging for mercy. And everyone who begged for mercy at his feet, he healed them. Every one of them. And what we have before us is the Lord's real power. And you know, those physical healing are pictures of what? Our spiritual healing, aren't they? We have before us the Lord's real sovereign power to heal sin, sick souls. There's no plague in our heart that he cannot cure, he cannot heal. There's no fever of lust that he cannot stop. There's no bent of our fallen will that he cannot change. He shall make us willing in the day of his power. With God, all things are possible. Anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? Nope. Nope. With God, all things are possible. You see, he has sovereign power over all things. The Father had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given to him. All these physical healings the Lord performed are real pictures of what the Lord has done for us in healing us. We were dumb and deaf, ignorant, and he gave us ears to hear a word from God. We were dumb, we were deaf, we could not hear. But he made us to hear. He made us to speak. And what do we speak when he opens our ears? When he gives us faith, comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. What do we speak? Unto him be the glory and honor both now and forever. As David said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We give him the honor and glory, don't we? If we were dumb, ignorant, could not hear the word, could not speak the truth, he healed us. He healed us. And then we were maimed. We were crippled. We were crippled. Sin had crippled us. We could not walk. We could not come to God. We're unable to come. He made us whole. He made us whole. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we are made complete. That man who was maimed, who had the withered hand, we studied about in Matthew chapter 12. Remember, they wondered whether the Lord would heal that man on the Sabbath day. And he said, it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Oh, that you may know, he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And he did. And he was made whole. And that's what he does for us. We're crippled with sin, and he makes us whole in Christ Jesus. And we were lame. We were lame. Lame. We had a lame brain. I told someone recently when I went into the hospital and had a not an MRI. I had an MRI on my shoulder, but they did a CAT scan on my brain. And my good friend I was talking to said, What did they find? I said, they found out I had a lame brain. He said, really? Was that the medical diagnosis? I have a lame brain? By nature, we have a lame brain. We don't think right. We think wrong. I tell you what we think. We think high thoughts of self and low thoughts of God. That's a lame brain. But the Lord, He heals us. He gives us right thoughts, good thoughts, true thoughts to think, true thoughts about the true and living God, who's almighty, who's eternal, the good shepherd. He causes us to walk in the way of faith, seeking salvation in Him. He's a good shepherd that leads us in paths of righteousness for His namesake. And then He said, the blind were made to see. And of course, you know that. You know what that means. We were blind. We had no eyes to see His glory. We had no eyes to see His beauty. But when He gives us eyes to see Him, oh, now He's altogether lovely. To you who believe, He is precious. We see all of our salvation completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eyes of faith to see Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still the great physician today. He's still Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, Exodus chapter 15. Jehovah Rapha means, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's our healer. With His stripes, you remember Isaiah 53? He is wounded for our sin, our transgression. With His stripes, we are what? Healed. Healed, completely made whole. And look what they did. They glorified God. They glorified who? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? They glorified Him as God. They worshiped Him as God. And they glorified the God of Israel. The God of Israel. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, Jeremiah 9. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Let us glory in Him. That word glory means to boast. To boast. What do we boast about? We boast of Him, don't we? His blood, His righteousness, His salvation. We don't boast about, Lord, we've done all these things for You. No, it's what He's done for us. It's what He has done for us. Nothing. We had that eclipse last Monday, remember? And that moon passed in front of the sun, and it was not a total eclipse here, but it was a 90% eclipse, and everything just kind of got dark, didn't it? Those places where it was a full eclipse, it really got dark. Our Lord Jesus Christ and His glory will never be eclipsed by anything. He's the sun that shines forth with healing in His wings, will never be eclipsed. Now, I told you to put, and they glorified the God of Israel. We do that now, and that will be our occupation forever as believers. Turn back to the Revelation and look at Revelation chapter 1. We'll read a few verses here. Revelation chapter 1. In the book of Revelation, that word glory is used 16 times. The Lamb and all of His glory. But look here at Revelation 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto our God, unto God and to His Father, to Him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. You say amen to that? I say amen to that. Turn over here to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation 4, verse 8. And for the verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and were created. We read in the Revelation chapter 5 in verse 13, blessing, honor, glory, and power be unto him that sits upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. It's all about his glory, isn't it? And then don't turn there. You can go back to Matthew 15. But I wrote this down in Revelation 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power be unto the Lord our God. It's all about his glory, isn't it? Now, who is this God of Israel? Who is this God of Israel? Well, he's a God of Scripture, isn't he? He's a God of Scripture. He's the true and living God. He said repeatedly over in Isaiah, I am God, beside me there is no other. I'm the only just God and Savior. Now look unto me and be ye saved. He is the God of our salvation. Where did this name Israel come from? Remember old Jacob? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God took that old cheating supplanter, Jacob, and gave him the name Israel, a prince of God. That's where that name comes from. And he's made us kings and priests unto our God. He that is our God, David said, is the God of our salvation. Who is this God of Israel? He's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's God eternal from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He's the Lord that's sovereign over all things. Whatsoever the Lord please, that's what he does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. In Exodus 34, I think we read this recently, the Lord passed by and said to Moses and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. He can't clear the guilty. He's got to justify the ungodly and declare them in Christ to be justified. But he's not going to clear any man who stands before God with his sins charged to him. But our sins have been charged to Christ. No condemnation to those who are in him. Now look at verse 32. Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him. He called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now these 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Now, two things in that verse caught my attention. Number one is this. I have compassion on the multitude. That means that the Lord is determined to show mercy. And then the second thing I notice is this. He said, I'll not send them away empty. Those who come to Christ empty, he'll not send them away empty. He fills, he strips us and then he fills us with his mercy. The Lord our God is a God full of compassion, long-suffering, great in pity, fervent love in everlasting mercy to his own. Lamentation 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. He's full of compassion. And then he says, I will not send them away empty lest they faint in the way. The Lord knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust, that we are weak, we are frail, sinful, dying creatures, and yet he meets all our need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the story in Genesis 22 of Abraham and Isaac about the lamb that God provided? He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide, and that provision for us is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, our great high priest, is merciful, long-suffering. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. At every point, he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows our frame. He knows what we need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have a great high priest. Seeing we have a great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, he said, come unto me and rest. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, in closing, let me give you this. And the disciples said, and this is a repeated story. You remember before he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. And his disciples come to him. He said, I will not send them away fasting. And the disciples say to him, okay, we remembered what you did when you fed the 5,000, and everything's going to work out okay. And we'll just trust you. Look what they do here. When should we have so much bread? They look to themselves to provide for this multitude when they just saw what the Lord had done. And yet they say, Lord, we can't do this. We don't have anything. We can't fill this great multitude. Why didn't they say, Lord, we know you can? How many times did he say of his apostles, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And the Lord said to them, you know, he could have rebuked him so sharply. He could have said, you big dummy. You so stupid, ignorant. I just fed all those people. Don't you remember what I did? But he's so long-suffering. He said, how many loaves do you have? And they said, we've got 7 this time. We had 5 before. And we had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now we have 7 loaves and we have a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. Here they fed 10,000 people, maybe more. And they took up fullness. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside the women and the children. And then he sent the multitude away. He healed them and then he fed them. And then he sent the multitude away. We see the Lord so graciously providing for these people, like he did before in Matthew 14, feeding the 5,000. The Lord not only supplied their spiritual need, but also their physical need as well. The Lord knows what we need. Now, I thought about this. I recently found out that there are 8 billion people, 8 billion people that live on this earth, not counting the birds, the animals, all the animal kingdom, 8 billion people, and the Lord feeds them every day. Doesn't he? The Lord provides for people. They don't even realize it. They don't even know it. They don't even give him the honor and glory for it. But he feeds us so generously and graciously, doesn't he? But he feeds the whole world. And yet they don't realize it. Look at verse 33. The disciples confessed they were not capable of feeding the multitude. And none of us are capable of ministering to the multitudes of sinners in this world. But His grace makes it sufficient. The apostle writes this, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, for it kills the law, but of the Spirit that giveth life. God's made us able ministers. We're not able to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He keeps us by his grace, doesn't he? He keeps us by his grace. The Lord received what was given. He broke it, gave to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And that's what we do here each week. We receive his message, and I try to feed you. What he gives me, I try to give to you. And try to feed you. Feed the sheep, which he purchased with his own blood. That's what we try to do each week. Preach Christ preached the word, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord commanded the people to do what? Sit on the ground. Did you notice that? Verse 35, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Stand still or sit still and hear the word of God. Sit still and listen to the word of God. Don't come with your questions. Just sit still and listen. All your questions will be answered in due time. He commanded them to sit on the ground, be still, and know that I am God. And they all did eat, and they were all filled, 7 baskets full. You can't diminish the supply of his grace. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Those who Christ feeds, he fills. Salvation, the free gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised up in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means what? House of bread. House of bread. The Lord described himself in John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. We give him all the honor and glory for the salvation of our soul, don't we? The true gospel of God always glorifies him. That's how you distinguish between that which is true and that which is false. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? To God be the glory. Great things he hath done for us.